Welcome to HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. As always, I am Mike Chisholm. As always, I am excited to be here. It's my opening line, but that does not mean it is not true. It is very true. This is my favorite time of the week, is having these podcasts, these conversations with folks all over the place to do all over the place with the realm of men's mental wellness. I love this. I get to be front seat for all of these conversations with cool people. Today is certainly no exception to that. I'm really excited. The guest that we have today is a special place in my heart for a variety of reasons. But before we get to the guest, let's get to the stuff that I have to say until I don't have to say it anymore. If you haven't downloaded He Changed It yet, what the heck are you waiting for? No matter your persuasion, whether you're an Android or an Apple user, we got something for you. Go to HeChangedIt.com. Check out what He Changed It is all about. Check out the app. Yes, it's in beta right now, but it is available. It is being used. It is, we're already getting feedback. We're getting people saying, hey, you're really helping my life. We like that. And if you like the app the way it is right now, oh my God, you ain't seen nothing yet, because the roadmap looks very good. All of the things that we want to do and will do as He Changed It rolls out are nothing short of incredible. Also, you know what, if you wouldn't mind, if you like this podcast, if you like the content of it, heck, if you wouldn't mind liking us officially online, sharing us, subscribing us, all of that, we would appreciate that as well. Good to get that out of the way. Okay, today's guest. I'm very excited about this guest, because back when Candace had really conceptualized what He Changed It is going to be, early on, the universe put a very cool person, our guest today, into our path, and not because of any reason except for chance, if there's such a thing as chance. We don't believe in that. We believe there are no coincidences. One night I was telling one of my I was at a spoken storyteller event, and I was telling one of my stories. I was telling my David Letterman story, which I haven't told here, but I think I've alluded to it a couple of times, and it was kind of a cross between stand up and a narrative type event. Well, after that event, Nick came up and introduced himself to Candace and I, and it turns out, you know, Candace told him what she was doing, or what you know, she was visualizing doing, and it turns out this guy's an honest to God tech founder already. Not just a tech founder, but he was in the gaming space, and not just a tech founder in the gaming space, but a guy who actually built something, built it real big, sold it off, and succeeded, and then was moving on to his next project. We went out for pizza. We had a great time. He gave us invaluable information I've talked about on this podcast. I've talked about the 1-9-90 rule. Guess where I learned it from? Nick Collette, who learned it from a book, but also in practice, in his life, and people around him. And we're really grateful for the information that he has given to us. Support and a cheerleader of He Changed It right from the very beginning, while it was in its conception, Nick Collette has been. Now, it had been a while since we had seen him. Lots of life happened along the way. And the project that he talked to us about that night has morphed, metamorphosized, turned into something else. And we're going to talk about that today on HeCast. Of course, this is going to be a mental wellness podcast, and there's lots of stuff on that, and lots of meat on that bone. But wait till you hear, I don't know how often that we actually get to witness a new type of media being born. But that's what's happening here with what Nick is building with Deckable. You know, we know our different mediums that are out there. We know our television. We know our different video and movies and things like that. We know books in all sorts of different forms, audio, you know, of course, tactile, the original books. And then, of course, the Kindle, things like that. Music, we digest that in different ways. But there is an entirely new medium that is emerging. And in the digital space, we're about to talk to the guy that is helming the ship, that is going to create something that will be, in my opinion, a household name here in the next few years. And it's really exciting. Nick, thank you for coming on to HeCast today to talk about all of the personal development things that we share and whatnot, but also your project and how you've kind of merged all these things into one new thing. Thank you so much for taking of your time. Thank you for everything that you've given to Candy and I. Welcome to HeCast, Nick Collette.
Thank you. Awesome. I'm just, you're making me blush thinking back to that night where we talked so much about 1990, which is just the topic that's so dear to my heart.
Yeah.
And then when we met the other night and you were like telling me all the stuff of how it's shaped and channeled and visioned, and that was really exciting. It made me feel like, wow, you know, it's beautiful to meet people that actually one are wholeheartedly accepting of that stuff, but you didn't just take on the go, oh yeah, great. You actually put it into action. So, and you guys are probably my most, you know, you're most highly ranked in my algorithm because I see you guys, Candy, flying by with great frequency. So,
well, I appreciate that. That's a cool thing. Yeah. Isn't that funny? You know, it's like high up in the DMs, high up in the email chains. We're high up in the algorithm, and I enjoy that very, very much. The 1990 thing, it's cool because I can remember you telling us about that. And the idea of it is if you've got a new platform of some sort where people are expected to take part however they take part, you know, you got 90% that are going to lurk. They're going to sit there. They're going to observe.
Oh, yeah.
You've got about 9% who will actually, you know, they'll integrate a little bit into it. They'll comment. They'll do some things. And 1% will actually forward new ideas into the whole sphere of whatever it is that you're working on. Right. And I remember the first time we noticed it and he changed it. You know, because we would have people coming up to us saying, hey, I visited the app the other day, and Candy and her team, they know the metrics. They know how many people are actually going into the app every day, even now.
Right.
And we're seeing the percentage of people who are going in versus the percentage of people who are contributing or much less like really putting something forward. And it's bang on to that 1990 rule. It's crazy.
It is. I always remember with my previous startup, this tech startup, and it was people came up to me at a trade show. And he's like, yeah, I've been following you guys for ages. I put money in the budget for next year. I didn't know who this guy was.
Right.
Like, here I am spending money, doing marketing, believing in my message and my story.
Yeah.
But it's belief. Yeah. Right. When you actually you do marketing because of 1990. It's the 90% you are speaking to every single day. We're having this conversation now.
Yeah.
We're trying to entice one. If from this conversation today,
yep,
we get one person to step out of the shadow and go, hey, I just wanna, can you?
Yeah.
They're gonna ask
something.
Some low level curious question.
Yeah.
And they're humble, they'll be dismissive. I don't wanna interrupt. And that's like a crying out for help to come invite me in. I wanna join the party.
Yeah.
I've been watching and I think you guys seem nice.
Yeah.
And you welcome me in. And if you let that drop, other people are watching.
Yep.
The other 89% now watching.
Yep.
Seeing how you treat that one guy.
Yep.
When you treat him well, like, hey, I'm in. I'm going to follow him in.
They're
like slipstream into the bar behind him, right?
Absolutely.
So you've got to think about those people. You are constantly, it's very easy to get in a one-to-one conversation.
Yeah.
Think it's about you and me.
Yep.
When you realize you're speaking to the audience, you think about what to say to speak to the audience, to be welcoming, embracing, supporting, all that stuff. Right?
All that stuff. I could not agree more. And seeing it actually happen in real time is fascinating. And it's a big responsibility, in fact, as well. You know, because how you treat that one person, you know, it means a lot. That's fascinating to me. People coming up to you at trade shows and oh, I've been following what you do. Thanks. You know, you could have told me that earlier because it's a lonely road being a tech founder sometimes.
Someone will tell you a story of what you said on Twitter 17 years ago as if it's like they've been carrying it close to their heart for all this time. And then they gush out what it was it did for them. And you're like, I didn't know that.
Exactly.
So what keeps you going?
Yes.
Self-belief and 1990. You know it's there, you'll deliver to it, right?
Without a doubt. And Candace has certainly, you know, gotten to the point, being a tech founder, it can be lonely. The ups and the downs are dramatic, to say the least.
I, you know, I describe what I do for a living.
Tell me.
I tell you, I say to people, I ride roller coasters for a living.
Yeah.
Well, the difference is that most people pay to go on a roller coaster. I get to do the ups and downs for free all day long. It hurts. It's painful. It's joyous.
Yep.
It's tearful.
Yep.
But I don't, you know, I'm not paying to go on the ride.
No.
So that's better, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
It sure helps when you use that metaphor instead of think, oh, I'm going to go get beaten up in my startup today because, you know.
Yeah, that's a much better way to look at it.
Yeah.
I wonder if the ride's going to drop or raise today. I wonder if we're going to be going up to the top or around the loop or the corkscrew or what.
You know that when you get to the top, you hear the change and you go,
Yeah.
Right. And that, because the roller coasters, you know, for a certain, there's an up.
Yeah.
Here it comes. And then there's the stomach. And then there's like, oh, some respite. And there's a spin you didn't expect, but they keep trying to shock you, right? It's like high and low, but that's fun.
Well, and we're talking, you know, I think about our audience, you know, hey, don't think we're not isolating any of you here. There's a lot of our audience who are business owners who know exactly what it's like. You know, maybe they were working for a company and they decided to strike it on their own and build their own thing. It's the same. It's that same feeling. Right. I would think that though with what we're talking about here, the sheer aloneness that can be there. Like I think about Candace sometimes. And I mean, I like to think that she's through that now, and that now that there's a product in market and certain things are starting to happen and partnerships are coming and all these things, the loneliness part is going away. But getting there, when you have one of those 90 come and say to you,
right,
hey, I love what you're doing. That's all it even needs to be. That is fuel for the fire that will last for days for people.
It's like the camel and the oasis.
Oh,
right?
Very
much. You
have
to go a long way between, right? But also you talked about like speaking to business owners, like 1990 applies at the pub,
of course,
at the sports match, in the church, wherever you go in your community, it's everywhere, right?
Absolutely.
When you begin to look for it, you realize, oh, I do fit in. Like there are these 90% of people who are doing nothing in this given moment.
Yeah.
And no single individual is a creator everywhere. Sometimes we have to lurk because this isn't high enough on our priority.
Yep.
Or we're curious about this space, but we haven't stepped into it yet. You can't be a creator of you would go insane.
No, absolutely.
Right? So it's good to get that. I just think it's, when I first read about it, and no one's actually written a good book on it. And I did actually 9/10 write a book on it. And I just was like, I couldn't do it. I was like, there's marrying and dating, right? It's like, you should marry. Should date fads and marry trends, right? So something's a blip, you should date it. But if it's serious, you should go with it for a long time, right? And like, I don't know where I was going with that.
The 1990, you were looking at, wrote a book.
So basically the book, I decided I didn't want to marry the book.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? If I publish a book, it's a three-year gig.
Yeah.
Right? If at all, if not more.
Yep.
And I was like, it's not me. I did it. It was fun, but inventing things for a living is way more my thing, right? So I love, it's perverse, it's weird, but I love jumping into an industry where I know nobody. Takes me into beginner's mind. It's perverse, but I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anyone in this industry. People are like, oh shit. Like me, it's like, oh fuck yeah, I can call anyone.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rules are, so no one can tell me.
Yes.
But you shouldn't call them that'll not work because of this. It's like, well, that's exactly why I'll work, because I don't know the rules.
Exactly. The glorious naivete.
Yeah.
And don't put your constraints on me because I'm unconstrained right now.
Right.
And you know, again, Candy and her team can definitely attest to that because we're in that space too.
Right. You're making it up.
We're making it up as you go along.
Men and self-help, like, excuse me, the pin drop, like, you're like, there's no one in the room, right?
That's right.
There are, you're building it. It's a hard, long slog, and you need to do it by participation and support and encouraging the people out of the shadows.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I want to get to Deckable and get to this here. I'm curious about how much of your book is going to be in Deckable, and I'm sure it's already in the framework of what you've built. Before we get to Deckable, though, you were in the gaming space, and the gaming space is really interesting because, in my opinion, the games that come out that are different than anything else. They got either a different mechanic or they have a different style of play or a different kind of hook.
Yeah.
How long were you in the gaming space? And are you allowed to talk about the game that you developed? Okay. Because sometimes when
I published one game. It sold 100,000 units. It's called Gift Trap. It won 20 plus awards worldwide. It won a Spielder's Yara Prize, which is like...
That's the top of the heap in the...
Oscar. Yeah. The Spielder's Yara Prize was just awarded this week to a game, Cascadia, this year's Game of the Year, right? We didn't win Game of the Year, but we won a very special prize from that. And I went to Berlin for it. I didn't get a single damn photo of me on stage. I don't know. I had serious envy this week because these guys from Cascadia were like picking up their prize and they were on stage and it was like, yeah. And I'm like, why didn't I have a single, I don't know. They mustn't have, I don't know what it was. They weren't very social media savvy like in 2009, 10. They didn't they weren't at all. So I didn't think about it. And then I looked back and I was like, oh, that was a, Not many regrets. That's a regret. But anyway, yeah, I can go back and photograph that. Or I can just go and win another game, right?
Or you can do that too. Well, and who knows what happens when Deckables. I don't think Deckable to me seems like it's going to be a life work. Like, I mean, if that was your training ground,
right?
Building that game, going through the experience of building a company, a tech company at that, the game itself. There's that part of it. And then getting to the place where you could exit and do some of these
things. That wasn't my exit. That was
That wasn't your exit.
I had a software company that I sold to Business Objects that's now part of SAP.
Right.
That was a kind of Venn diagram visual. Ask really complicated business questions really easily, using Venn diagrams. But the gift trap game was amazing. But I just decided I always wanted to invent a game. Like I tried to sell Connect 4 to Milton Bradley as a computer game when I was 17, and they said no. They thought there was no market for computer games.
Oh, right? My gosh!
You can't make this stuff up. It's priceless, right?
Wow! But
I just decided I always wanted to make a game, but I didn't want to make six games. And if you want to run a game company, you need to have a catalog. So as soon as I got that far, I went, okay, done the game. It was really fun, amazing, new industry. Loved all that. Gave me a rush. Now I need to go and do something else. I don't want to do six games. It's not me. So I left at that point and just said, that was it. I've mission accomplished.
Yep.
I published my board game. I got sold my 100,000 units, got my Spiel des Jahres prize, move on.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And all the things that you've done in between to get you, because I do want to get to Deckable. I want to get to it right now. Now I was not being hyperbolous when I said, what you're building here is a new type of media.
Right. I didn't really get that. Like, it's weird. If someone is as creative and innovative as me, I do that for a living. Like, I missed a lot with Deckable. But what's amazing is because the 20-year-old would have not done this. I would have filled in everything, and I probably would have missed the boat. Mm. With Deckable, I've turned in a lot more mindfully and not forced things and allowed them to arrive as and when. And then when they arrived, I'm like, oh, welcome. Look at you. Mm. And I've nurtured that thing. Like, it's stupid, but it's a silly example. So here's a card deck, right?
Sure. And
something about this card, it's magically two-sided because it's a piece of paper, right? It's card. It's nothing. I'm not going to make it disappear. It's side one, side two.
I can attest what he's saying is true.
We don't need that. Digitally, why don't we have as many sides as we like?
Oh, I see.
I didn't spot that as a feature on the way in because we were like, let's digitize these decks. So we digitized them and we were halfway through and went, well, there's two sides. Why don't we allow people to do like multiple sides? Like, oh shit, yeah. And I was like, yeah, maybe. Seems worth it. 3 months later, oh my God. Everybody was creating three-sided decks. I'm like, thank God I didn't close that door at that point and say two-sided is good.
And the 20-year-old might have done that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And I see where you're coming from. You're a student of personal development, just like I am, like Candace is, and many of the people on He Changed It's team are just very much personal development people, because I think at the core of it, in many ways, He Changed It is a personal development portal.
Right.
In many ways. Going through life from 20 to where you're at now, a lot of life experience that you learn, through the school of hard knocks, which many of us men, that's the only way we've learned. We went through that divorce. Right. We went through that, job crisis, that financial crisis, whatever it is, learn a lot.
Right.
But then there's also those times where it's like, I'm in a place that I don't like, and I'm going to develop myself the way out of it, whether it's going to school, whether it's, reading books, reading some of these things and changing mindset, which of course I think is the silver bullet, very, very different in building this company. And I think that that's a really good point that, it's pretty neat when you are a creative, and many men have lost that. It's been oared down over the years, ground down.
Right.
But when you become a creative, or when you decide to write that song, start that business, make that project on the side of your desk while you're doing these things, you're in a really cool space because you've learned a lot throughout life.
Right, right. I got to the point where I went away for a magic mushroom weekend.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I tried many times before this weekend to meditate and not succeeded. And I came back from that weekend and I went straight into 100 days of 20 minutes a day meditating.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know how I did that, but it was amazing. And then I like, remember the Monty Python sketch, What Did the Romans Ever Do For Us? Remember that? Like, well, apart from the high, you know, and
the aqueducts and, yeah, the roads and the safety and all that. What did they ever do for us?
Yeah. That was literally what I felt like about meditation at that moment. I was like, well, what did meditation ever do for me? And I went, well, look what I did in the last 3 months. And mm-hmm. I was like, and I listed all these things. I was like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, because you don't get any. I didn't. I'm sure some people do this. Oh, I meditated and whoop, that things arrive and it's like transformatively amazing. I wasn't that. For me, it was like, I look back and I went, oh my God. You know, if you actually don't hustle and rush and push things through, you actually just sit and let things come to you.
Yeah.
Right. And the younger me was like, when I sold my company, my boss, guy Dave Kellogg, thanks, Dave, if you're watching, I've got to send this to you. He used to say to me, and it's like, you are like a tank. He said, if you hit an obstacle, you just reverse a little bit, change 1 or 2 degrees, go straight in again. Like,
I can relate to that.
I would crush the object, right?
Yep.
And I have enough energy to do that. And it's tiring, though.
Yes.
And like, I'm not 33 anymore, right? Yeah. So.
Plus you miss things.
Yeah.
You miss things. Letting things come to you is a completely different experience than forcing things through.
And Dave actually taught me that because I was like, I'm this creator and I create things and it's cool and it's only my space. And then I watched Dave create slide decks from everyone else's ideas. And I was like, that's cheating. And I was like, no, that's fucking smart.
Yeah.
Right. So I am creative. I have original thought, but now I just like balance that with what comes to me. And I don't sweat every detail.
Yeah.
Before I begin, I let the goodness come and welcome all in who are, you know, coming along the way, right?
So. I love that. And I think that, and so many of us are wound up so tight. And the lack of vulnerability and the lack of being able to even give up any semblance of control or whatever, because we're so tunnel visioned and we're just driving forward. I mean, that's a great example of the tank. We're just driving forward. The idea of kind of letting go. Let the tank drive itself a little bit, looking up and letting things come in and see, or even just seeing what comes in. Give it 2 weeks and see what happens.
Right.
Because guess what? As time moves on, things actually work themselves out. Right. There are things that work themselves out, but there are so many of us that don't realize that. We think that it's just us doing that. And I'm saying that autobiographically as well. Like I'm very, very much, that's a lesson that I am currently learning.
Right. Like, I mean, just to give you an example, mm-hmm. When I started actual Deckable, when it didn't have a name, right, I was 3 years in.
To the other project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one you guys kind of, and there was some cool stuff in there. People got very excited about it. But I could never finish the damn thing, right? It kept on growing. Like, it was whack-a-mole. It kept, like, popping out and growing new arms and heads and legs. And just like, oh, come on, get back in the box. And I think I put this down to meditation, actually, because it was somewhere around that period after that literally I decided to reach out to a friend and he basically said, oh, I have this great UX team, used to work for me on my startup.
Yep.
Why don't you get to see what they can do for you?
So a user experience team. So it's technical team that builds experience.
So I went to them kind of naively and said, hey, can you turn my, you know, ugly duckling? I didn't say that, but can you turn this ugly duckling that's like growing with 7 heads into a beautiful swan for me, right? And that was what I was thinking in my head. But they went away and they did the most amazing thing that most consultants don't do. Because the consultants obviously do, here's the watch, tell me the time. They tell you exactly what.
Right.
They sell you exactly what you're already facing.
Right.
But just make it look nice, right? They didn't do that. They said, Nick, what you should do is throw it all away. And they didn't say that.
Awesome.
That was what they actually
meant.
They said, you should throw this all away. And what you should do, because you really, really love card decks. I mean, we can see how much you love card decks. Why don't you just focus on card decks? And because if they just said that, I'd probably punch them, right? But they didn't say that. They said, and by the way, here's how it would look. And they showed me
a skeleton of
It wasn't a skeleton. It was beautiful. It was like the full blown, like.
So you inspired them. The idea inspired them, and they.
Well, they came up with this idea, and all I had to do was pay for it and stop doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I literally wanted to vomit.
Yeah.
In that week. And that week I spent a lot of time in reflection.
I was going to ask if that was difficult, like the ego get in the way and the pride and all that. I was going to ask if that was tough for you because you had such that tank mentality is still lurking inside, right?
It's right. We can make this work. We can just muscle in and just, you know, grunt our way through this, right? But they, and it was funny because that week I did go silent. I wrote a lot of emails that I didn't send.
Really?
Which was almost like journaling, right?
Sure it is.
And,
wow.
And they were like, we thought we'd pushed it too far. Well, so we were pretty close as damn well did, but thank God, right? I mean, this is what I love about the open door metaphor. What if I hadn't called that friend? What if he hadn't suggested that? What if I hadn't
that butterfly?
To them?
Yep.
What if they hadn't done this? What if I'd said no at that moment?
Yep.
Right? Oh my God. How many times do you have to step through doors and decisions to get to the gold at the end of the corridor, right?
Yes.
And you have to just say, yeah. I'm in, right? That's what personal growth is all about, is saying, once you say yes, you're never done.
And we're not talking, like I was going to say, it's an exercise in faith. And we're not talking spiritual faith. It's just taking the faith in that step. It's Indiana Jones over the invisible, the pit with the invisible bridge in front of him going, okay. And that's what this is. I want to get it. Okay. So you've set the table beautifully.
You have.
You teased it perfectly. Right. I teased it by saying, and I wasn't being hyperbolic when I said, this is a new type of media. Right. Let's talk about Decibel.
All right.
And well, cause I want to be one of the first to be able to feature you. And I want you to use this interview as fodder to be able to throw out there, because I swear to God, Nick, I'm going to be the guy that said, I know the guy. It's like, do you know the guy who invented Audible? Do you know the guy that invented, one of the Netflix? Do you know the guy that invented? I'm going to be able to say to people, I'm actually friends. The guy who started Decibel mentored me. And I can't wait to say that. I'm already saying it anyway, 1990 on this podcast.
Right.
But let's do the pitch on Decibel and talk about it.
Let's roll it back to Dex, first of all.
Sure.
Because I didn't get this because it was a long, slow process, but there are literally, by my estimate, and I've cautiously upped this estimate throughout the year to the fact that I think there are 100,000 unique card decks in the world.
Unique card decks.
I'm not talking playing cards.
No, you got your 52 card playing deck. That's one deck.
That's one deck. Right.
All the variations. All of them. That's one. Yeah, that's one. Right? Yeah. Okay.
So there are really two segments in the card deck camp.
Sure.
There are the coaching, values, strategies, ideation type decks,
sure,
right? People use decks in the workplace or for teaching people things. There are learning decks, right?
Flashcards.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially.
Totally, right?
Yeah.
And then the other side of the house is the spiritual affirmation, the tarot.
Okay, yeah.
Right? The oracle, the mindfulness, the affirmation, the manifesting decks, right?
Sure.
They're completely different beasts, but they're not. Mm-hmm. But they're different beasts because there are two very different types of people that use them, but the way they use them from a software engineering perspective is pretty darn similar.
They're the same in the same way that a horror movie is the same way as a romantic comedy, which is different than a comic film. That's right.
Right.
That's right. There's just different things on the celluloid the digital as it may be.
So card decks exist and people are not. And I actually know 25 plus people who sell courses on how to create a card deck, right?
So already, that's out there.
Yeah, already.
This
has been going for a while.
Okay.
And like when you know that exists, that's like somebody's permanently stoking the fire, putting rocket fuel under your,
Yeah.
That's fueling the industry.
This is Amazon.com in its inception discovering that there are books out there.
Yeah. Thank God. And people are writing more books. Oh, imagine that.
Really?
What if we made it easier to write books? You think people would write more books? Oh, maybe, right?
What if we created a digital space for them and called it Kindle and did this? And
we should do that. Oh, someone's already done it.
Oh, wait. Darn it. No one's done this.
Right. Well, card decks are like the ugly redheaded stepchild that's sitting under the Harry Potter staircase, right? And they got forgotten because when you did music, it was easy. It was already a file.
Yes.
Right? That was easy.
Yes.
Right? Not to take it away from the musicians.
No. But, definitely.
But books were also typed. Yeah. It was text. It was already there, right? And, you know, movies were already on film.
Absolutely.
Recorded, right? And even audiobooks, they didn't add, they went from books to read books as tapes. Remember, cassettes?
Absolutely. Book on tape is a thing.
And then cassettes went to CD, and then CD went to Audible, right?
Yes.
That hasn't really existed digitally for decks.
No.
People have tried. People actually, well, I can tell you some really awful decks, because the people who've created them did not understand their audience. They were not a through and through tech nerd who gets the, like, I'm at this blessed position where I play cardboard. I don't play games digitally. I play on cardboard, right? Yeah. I love that whole
tactile experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I understand tech. So I'm like bringing those two together. And no one has made, everyone in this coaching industry or the spiritual industry are touchy-feely, human, engaging, personal growth types, right?
Yes.
They want to talk about how do you feel, what's going on for you, what are your challenges, right? And because they're touchy-feely, they want a tactile app.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And every app that I see that's been a card deck, the card is on the screen, and you're like, they ignore everything you do. They just sit there rigidly like, I'm a card. You will not do this to me. Like, Steve Jobs would die. He'd be flipping. I don't know if he's got cremated. Flipping,
yeah.
I don't know how you flip in a cremation jar. But anyway, that's an interesting thought for another show. So Steve Jobs would be like, your pension's home, children.
Come yeah.
On, right?
Yeah.
And why can't like cards be pinched and Zoom?
Yeah, like our camera roll or like every other. Yes, absolutely.
So I look at these apps and they've been sterile. They've also been single deck, right?
They're PDFs essentially. Well, they're just
exactly right.
Yeah,
the PDF might be insulted by that, but yeah. know,
sorry, Adobe. Yeah, hey man, I didn't mean to.
They got a lot to answer for. Adobe make me laugh because they call these things workbooks. The whole world's like in the hell. So let me give you my workbook. And the biggest irony of it, workbooks don't work. Like, they're awful. No one wants to use a workbook. A PDF is never used on the phone. Like,
yeah, yes. And
just going back to card decks just for a minute. But like I always loved my Frotos, like From and To.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Sure.
My Froto for Deckable is the average person who loves decks, which is in the minority right now, but we'll fix that.
Oh, yeah. Not for long.
The average person owns 10 decks and 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 decks, right? And then they're faced with this, how do I take the decks with me? I mean, you saw me. I came today with
a box full of decks.
I came a box full of decks.
Some on the table.
Yeah, some on the table. I wanted to show you so we could actually talk about it and understand what it's about, right? And so, instead of having to leave these at home, they're all in my pocket, right? I mean, this little device that, you know, I never leave home without it. Mm-hmm. It's here. It looks like a deck.
Yeah, it does.
Now it acts like a deck, right? And this is the app the phone has been waiting for, quite honestly. You know, like every app you use on the phone, this is my impression. Okay, I'm going to do a little impression for you. This is Facebook.
Yep. Sure.
Right? And that's it. This is Tinder. So like the difference between Facebook and Tinder is about 90 degrees, right?
Sure.
Right? So and this thing is a supercomputer. I mean, there's more power here that could have got you to the moon in the 1960s,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But we do nothing with it.
Yes.
We do this and this. And Steve was like, can you pinch and Zoom? We do more in our photo apps. But then, you know, Instagram came along and just de-skilled that whole, it made us all into super photographers, but de-skilled it, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Automatic.
Yes. Right?
So why can't you do that with a card deck?
Yeah.
And you can.
Now you can.
You can. We did it. And like, honestly, in the vision, we obsessed about how this tactile experience was. And I think there was a little bit of, the development team were a little bit dragging their feet on this one, and they're freaking awesome. I love them. Like, but
yeah.
And now they see Deckable where it is. They're like, they're so supercharged because they're like,
that's awesome.
Oh my God, these decks are so amazing. Like,
When you have the developers saying that, you know you're onto something.
Oh, they are really.
Because their user experience, when they've been there, they've done that, they've seen it for all sorts of different types of things, whether they're programming or whatever. When they say that, you know you're onto something,
they
right?
They added a feature the other day that I didn't ask for.
Oh, see?
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And it was amazing. It was animation. Like, literally the cards move around on the screen. People love it. Because
so like a shuffle, but like a slow, like a poker, yeah. you know, the old school poker shuffle in the middle of the table where the dealer,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
kind of like right, that, right, except right. it does it on its own. Right. Okay.
And I've been asking for it, but not got it. And then they just threw it in. Like, I don't know if you like this, but we thought this was kind of cool. I was like, holy shit, is that cool?
Yeah.
Like that's staying in the product. Hold on. Awesome. We'll have seven more like that.
And there's
like,
a randomizer and all. Like, yeah. I mean, okay. So the other night, I got to say this to the audience. So the other night, Nick reaches out to Candy and I, and I like the idea of the whack-a-mole thing. Like, these are the types of people. This is a thing, just guys out there may want to hear this, maybe not. I don't know. But for me personally, busy guy, lots of shit going on. The people that I want in my life are the people who, if I don't see them for 6 months, we literally are back on the same page and just catching up a little bit, right? Like, those are the people that I want in my life. You're one of those people. Like, you're one of those people where
we've met once.
Well, that's just it. And we just know.
I literally shared the story with a friend the day after we'd met.
Yep.
I met with an old friend last night. And I was like, well, actually, to be truthful,
just I've
met
times.
Them once.
A couple times,
but they
yeah.
feel like old friends.
Absolutely.
And it's like,
yep.
I'll have seven more of those, please, you know?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You can't get that. You can't turn up at Save On Foods and have a six-pack of good friends, right?
That's right. And I just appreciate very much dynamics like that when I have those, because we all have these crazy busy lives. But when the timing of things naturally just organically come back. So you call Candy and I and say, let's go for a pizza.
Right.
And let's talk about some things. And you bring this up and I just go off because I'm so inspired by it with a million questions. Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? Can you do that? The answer, by the way, all yes, which I was then, oh man, blown away by. Because I mean, we haven't even gotten to some of the substance, the personal development stuff. Like I want to get into that in this show today.
Yeah, so we need to get there.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
But like you're far along in this thing. Not a subscription based platform at all. It's more like at the end of the day, like Kindle or Audible, except for Dex. And the idea of the interactivity, this is the part I love. The way that you could almost use it as a bit of a social media platform where you can trade decks with people and give people go back and forth with things, inspire others with it. You can share, you know, any truths or things that you've discovered on these decks or entertainment for that matter.
Right.
You know, the platform, possibilities are literally endless.
Right.
I was a hockey card collector when I was a kid. You think about hockey cards and bonding over that. I have a Star Wars digital trading card app on here where they actually have limited cards and things like that. I've had people actually offer me real money in the real world for limited cards that are on this Star Wars little app. But at the end of the day, Topps has that. And that's one app. That's one small segment. You can interact with other fans, that kind
that's
of a thing.
It's a one trick pony.
It's
a
one trick pony.
Right.
This here is an entire world that can lead to all sorts of stuff.
Right.
And the creatives of the world, I think about how many artists wish that they could do something. You've got an application here where they can upload a deck in there, whatever it might be, whether it's their art, whether it's a game.
They can upload a catalog.
Yes.
But they're like, here's my portfolio, Share it as a deck, right? I mean, there's so many mind-blowing, like this device, as I've said before, it's card deck shaped, but now it behaves like it.
Yep.
And you begin to realize how much it doesn't do very much for you right now, right? But when you can actually interact with the cards, listen to them, read to them, play them, watch them, journal on them, share them. It becomes meaningful stuff that you're doing, right?
Journal on them, like
Exactly. So so I have a three decks that I think everyone in the world should own, right? And I wanted to test that idea today, right?
Let's do it.
So. Because I'm also gonna make you do an exercise. You up for that?
Of course.
I don't even need to ask you.
No.
Do it. Right?
I'm in.
Right.
I'm in.
So there are three decks that I think everyone should own. Right. And these are like, you play board games, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So like, in the board game world, we use the word gateway game. So Settlers of Catan.
Okay. Yeah.
Ticket to Ride. These are gateway games. These are the games you play with your friends that aren't real gamers yet.
Yeah.
Right?
And gateway game. Okay, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. Can we do that again? Certainly. You got anything else like that?
Yeah.
I'll play some more of that, right?
Role-playing games are like that,
right.
Too.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, right?
Very much.
So anyone who loves anything wants to bring everyone else into the thing there. And come watch soccer. I hate soccer, but like, you know, like...
The communal experience, though, changes it.
Invite you to that, right?
Yep.
So I think there are three gateway decks that everyone should have. And it's this plays to mental wellness. That's why I wanted to bring it up with you today. Okay. It's like everyone should have a values deck. So what do you value? Like, I mean, that's a really heavy, like, hey, what do you value? It's a really heavy duty question, right?
I mean,
that's one deck. Because if you actually know what you value and you live by your values and people interact with you based on knowing what your values are, life goes by really swimmingly well.
Yes.
Because people are like, oh, you like this? Oh, I can work with you that way, right?
Especially if you have boundaries up.
Right, exactly.
That's not the person I talk about alcohol with because their boundary is no alcohol.
Right.
And yeah, like, yes, that's just a, you know, we're not those people, but the people in my life who are, and they put that boundary up, I respect that immediately.
Right.
And their life is easier because of it. And so is mine because that boundary is clear.
And so, for example, for me, I can tell you what my three values are.
Yeah.
Like, I go creativity, adventure. I saw that. You go to an adventure side in your bathroom. And that was awesome. Like, it's like, yeah, this man speaks to my soul, right?
Shout out to the decorator of the house.
Yeah, there you go. And then my third one is integrity. I just don't want to leave any mess in my wake, right?
Yep.
I'd be clean, upfront, straight, full, like honest upfront. Just say what it is. If you don't like it, that's okay. But let's not like be deceiving or it's just simple, right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, that's fine. Move on. Next, right?
But you can sleep at night.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. And everyone should know what their values are. And we bandy around our Myers-Briggs and all these different profiles.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ENFP, I'm this. What does that difference does it make? But if I know what your values are, like, you know, you said to me, do you want to come on my podcast? I'm like, creativity, adventure? Yeah, let's do it. Right?
I'm in,
right? Yeah. How hard is that?
It's a great filter to put things through.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
So values deck and it's strengths deck.
Oh, know what your strengths are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, also knowing what your weaknesses are and actually not doing anything about it and having other people fill in the gaps for you. Like, why bother with shit you don't love? Like, you want to make me a wonderful administrator? Want to kill my soul?
Yeah.
No, thank you. But I can delegate that to someone, right?
But hire somebody who that's their strength.
Build my team, right? That's cool, right? And the third thing really matters to feelings and emotions.
Yes.
An emotions deck. What are you feeling? What are you feeling right now? Can you flick through the deck and find it? Because we use very limited vocabulary in our feelings. How are you doing? I'm fine. Oh, yeah. Especially men.
You're speaking to the men. Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
I'm great. Okay, that's right. Don't ask anymore. Right? So it's hard. People start saying, where are you feeling that?
Right.
Where in the body are you feeling that? What does that feel like?
Yeah.
You know, like, does it make you feel hot, cold? Where is the sensation?
Your gut? Are you lightheaded? Yeah. Are you?
Right. Yeah, and if you can begin to develop your vocabulary and sensory noticing, but most of all, if you can express your feelings, you're not burying them, right? So that's saving you a ton of money. That's a therapy bill deferred.
I was just going to say this alone is an app.
Right.
Never mind the thousands of other things we're talking about. But this alone, like huge, huge.
Right. And really what shocks me is the industry has not noticed that, because people who've got a values deck, they're in the values furrow, wonderful people, but they're doing that because people don't do all three, because you become specialists. Like, you know, I do coaching decks, I do this, and they're also not tech people, right? Yeah. So I've come along and said, I'm not getting into these furrows. I'm staying up here at a technology level and I'm.
Yeah, you're letting each industry or each category fill itself.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have multiple decks into each of these categories. But we have some amazing decks in these categories, right?
Already. And you're not launched yet.
No, we have 200. I know. I have to pinch myself like literally quite vigorously to remind myself of that. We have 200 approved published decks on Deckable. Like, you can't just turn up with any old deck. It has to be.
Yeah, it has a vetting process where just like all the other apps out there would have.
Yeah, that's not support. You can publish. You can get
that's true.
You can put a Kindle out there, pretty much. You know, how to walk your dog. 17 pages, there's your Kindle.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a good point.
I might be doing Amazon a disservice in that statement, but I'm probably not too far from the truth, right?
And well, so, until they buy you, that's your own. Yeah. They bought Audible, right? Like, yeah, like they bought. They I mean, I'm just. I'm not telling tales out of school. Like
2009. I think
that's how big this is.
Like, they started in 97. Yeah. Oh, pretty cool. No, exactly.
That's how big this is. Like, it's a new type of medium, and it's the same thing though. Like, so I just want to tell people. People go on there. Price point on the deck. Do we know what the price point's going to be yet?
The price point of the digital deck is a percentage of the physical deck. So if the physical deck's more, the digital deck will be
just like Kindle.
Just exactly right. That
just like Kindle.
I have a stupid thing. I said to myself, Nick, what's the answer? I don't know the answer. I asked myself, what would Kindle do? And I would say,
well, here's an example here of trying not to invent the wheel.
Right.
You're not stealing an idea.
I'm not.
By looking at what the mass is already like in the marketplace somewhere else. And that's where that stupid pride ego thing sometimes we got to destroy, right? There's an example of it right there.
I've innovated enough.
Yeah.
Audible for the foreseeable. We don't need to innovate around a business model. Pick Audible. I don't innovate on pricing. Look at Audible. Physical books versus Kindle versus, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And people are not stupid. They turn up and go, wow, oh, the physical is this. It's just like they're literally going to say,
yeah,
it's like Kindle, right?
But what would you rather, go to Barnes & Noble or Indigo and buy the deck of your choice or have it everywhere that you go? Yeah, have it. That's exactly.
In my pocket, I think it's a slam dunk.
To
right?
me.
But don't get me wrong. I want people to buy physical decks.
Yes.
I'm a cardboard guy, right?
And so you're taking that into consideration with every decision that you guys make as a company.
Yeah, exactly.
So you still take that into account. Right. Okay, so let's do the exercise.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We can do the exercise. We could do it on Deckable, but I think we might lose everyone.
Sure.
Like
no, let's do it. Let's do the tactile thing. If that's
if that's here's a values deck.
That's a values deck.
Okay, we're gonna get up and get in the way of cameras and clunk into things, right?
Okay.
So I'm gonna throw down. I mean, you can do this.
But, okay. Yeah.
Basically, the way typically people teach you to do what you're doing is called a card sort right now.
This is a card sort.
Yeah, and what you're doing is there's 60 values in that deck.
Okay.
And really, I want you to pick 3, but that's really challenging. So I'm gonna ask you if you can just pick 10 or 20 to start with. So literally, what I would suggest you do is start going, that's not me.
Tossing ones. Right? Okay.
Because you've got to get really picky. Oh,
there's a top one right there. Connection's huge for me.
Yeah.
Is kindness in here somewhere? Let's see. Oh, loyalty. Yeah, I love that one. Yeah.
And you'll see, look, your pile is getting too high already, right?
Yeah, it's already.
Totally. This is, first time I did this, I did not realize how hard it was. And then it took me a while and I've gone back and done it, but now I accept like this is hard because human beings, we should be taught this as a kid. We should do it all the way through school, through university and job interviews.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. See, it's okay. But I've picked some that are similar to each other and that's where you would kind of take one over the other, right?
Like, cause you've got your goal now is to pick 3, right?
Okay. So like, I'm like,
so let's get these out of the way.
Yeah. Let's do that for now.
And now let's spread those out, maybe. Maybe group them.
Yeah, see, honesty and trust are kind of the same thing, right? You know, love is huge. You know, connection is the same as friendship and connection.
And connection probably go
together. Right.
Maybe even leadership. I don't know.
That could go in there too, for sure.
The way everyone views these is completely unique, right? That's what's cool. It's like your version of what love means to you is different than what does winning mean and what. But you're not wrong. You don't need to go to the dictionary for that. It's whatever you feel.
Well, also, this exercise is how I'm feeling today, where my hormones and pheromones and my the things are, my biology and chemistry and emotional makeup are at this moment. But next week, it might be a little bit shifted.
Right.
But knowing that it's a little bit shifted gives me a gateway to me.
You do this, you know, once a month, twice a month, for 3-6 months, you'll very quickly get to the point of some consistency and some variance, right? So we've got...
Very quickly, we've got gratitude, encouragement, and love. Those are my...
There we go.
Those are ones that just jump out at me.
And then if we like blindfolded and silenced Candy in the situation, we could have had her come in
and pick ones for
and pick them for you, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And you can do that, right? You can do the rest of the family. You can do your
yeah. What anyway. An exercise,
right?
It's or you could read three chapters of a personal development book that might get you there, might not get you there. Like this is an exercise that in a couple of minutes can really, really give a shortcut to that process.
Right. And then if you did this for, what are your strengths?
Yeah.
Right? Do the same thing. There's similar number of strengths. And then what do I need from the people around me? What am I missing? Yeah. Right? And then you do that with emotions.
Yeah.
Have I said these words lately? How do I feel? How do I feel loathing, resentment? How do I feel joy? How do I feel pride, compassion, support, empathy? Where do I feel it? What does it feel like?
I was going to say, you're going to put all the therapists out of business, but really what you're going to do is you're going to give them all a tool. to use.
I think therapists are going to be busy from here to eternity. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe we're just going to raise the bar a little bit, right?
Yes.
You know, that's a good thing.
Well, it's a different vantage point. It's a different way of looking at it. It's like when high definition television showed up, you know, you're seeing things completely differently right. than you did before.
And so we've just talked about the three decks everyone should own.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other 99,997 decks? There's a lot of decks left, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's coaching decks and there's like fishing decks and there's football and
every hobby you could think of.
And language learning decks and So, but imagine being able to do this on the phone.
Yep.
That move them around and you know, this is kind of funny, but I have to laugh at this. So. I wish I'd actually known your answer and found those three cards beforehand and then like shown you because digitally. So would you like to rank for me gratitude, encouragement, and love, which comes bigger and smaller?
Oh man, it gets tough on that one. I mean, I guess love is the all encompassing one. So I'm going to put that one at the top.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do it like that.
Right, right.
Love, gratitude, encouragement.
So digitally in Deckable, we could have just like pinched and zoomed, made love bigger. Like, because physical cards... Well, they're physical and they're constrained from the real world. But when we can pinch and zoom, we can actually imply ranking.
Video, yeah. Oh, right? Yeah. There's a different.
So
yeah.
I mean,
and different emotions.
Who loves to take a survey?
A lot of people love to take surveys.
I don't know if I would argue with that. I think a lot of people I don't like taking surveys. But
I see what you're saying.
You just took a survey. But when
surveys come up, I skip them because I want to get to my video. I see what you're saying.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, we've actually made surveying fun. It's self-serving.
We are
self-reflecting. Yes. So what are my strengths? What am I feeling? What are my strengths, right?
How many men need to know that?
Every woman.
Every
relationship
yep.
should know both sides
yep.
of, hey, well, that's why we fight, because you value different things than me. Do I need you to change? No.
I need to take into consideration your values
to speak to you through your values. This makes language of love look like beginner speak, right?
Because it's emojis and hieroglyphics too, a little bit. Like, you know, you see that coming up in our system here. You know, hieroglyphics used to be the Egyptians and all that sort of stuff. And now emojis are like the language of the kids because they say so much. Right. They sum up so many things.
Right.
This is kind of that, except way more specific and granular, which is right. what we need because emojis are, at the end of the day, right. pretty simple.
And then you literally at the end of every day, you can check in and say,
yes.
Did I live my day in compliance with love, gratitude, and encouragement? Is there anyone I could have loved more today? Is there anyone I could have given gratitude that I didn't? Oh my God, the guy at the checkout, I could have done that. I didn't. I could have said encouraging words here. Okay, well, I can go to sleep now.
Right.
Because I didn't fuck up today too badly anywhere, but tomorrow I could do better, right? I can learn from that. That's the ridiculously simple thing that you can do with this but this needs to be digital because you would look like a right noodle walking around with three cards in your pocket, three decks, and like, okay, now I'm going to fish out my emotion deck and then my values deck. You've got this device, which we keep charged. It can do it. every day you can check in and validate and verify all these things.
I want to say something to the audience really quick. Okay. When Nick said to Candace and I, hey, you got to come out here. One of the first things he said was he changed it needs to make a deck, and we're making a deck. So just so you, just so you know,
a big deck.
Well, now the deck jokes. And you know what? I'm surprised. 54 minutes. It took us 54 minutes to not do a deck joke. And I'm really impressed kudos to you, sir. Because I'm telling you, it was like 54 seconds when we were together where the first deck joke came out. Touch my deck. Yeah, okay. You can go ahead. This is another part of the marketing of what you guys are doing. You're playful with it. You don't take yourself too seriously, and you are doing all sorts of playful, like the roadmap for you guys. We talk about the roadmap for us. We know that our journey is a difficult one. Again, some very, very important, intelligent mentors of Candace and her team have said, look, it's not low hanging fruit what He Changed It is doing, but the orchards are full. And we know that.
Right.
This is low hanging fruit. Like this is, oh my God. And again, not telling tales out of school, you know, you were, at first, 100 decks was like daunting.
Oh, yeah.
Now you got 200 decks. And you're not even at the point you want to launch because you keep on making it better already. All the updates that make the things better are happening in-house before you've launched.
People are so, I don't know, I get the joy of every day talking to different creatives, right? Mm. And they share me their ideas. And I get to meet new, I reach out to new people because I say to people, hey, what deck do you love? And then the creatives go, oh, this deck needs to be on there. I'm like, okay. And I reach out to that directly and direct that creative and say, hey, Fred Smith said your deck's awesome. I want can we chat? I'd love to get you on Deckable. Yeah. And I tend to get those phone calls, right? And then I get to meet them, and then I get to hang out with them, and then we get to like shape their deck and
You're gonna miss that part.
I'm not letting go of that.
Well, I mean that's gonna be a department at some point, right? Like that's
probably will, but like I mean, my job is to be an evangelist, right? I don't need to write code. I don't need to design the product. I've envisaged it. I love the people part of this. That's my rocket fuel.
Yeah.
Like seeing what people bring and interacting with people. And like I showed a lady her deck the other day.
Yeah.
Right. She was working on it and she's creating it. And I gave her some feedback. And I was like, have you seen it in the app? She's like, I haven't managed to download because people are, you know, she was
televisioned.
She was not super comfortable with the tech, and one thing or another, she hadn't got there yet. So I talked her through the process, right? She literally squealed with joy and shed tears in the same breath.
How'd that feel?
Well, it's like I was the camel at the Oasis, right? I can go 3 months without any of that now, and then yesterday. This lady, oh my God, she's beautiful. She's 85, right? And she submitted her deck. It was really cool. And I heard of her someone else had recommended. So I was like, this is the biggest referral chain I've ever created.
Oh yeah, I got one for you already too. Yeah, yeah.
But I met her. She's awesome. The content is fantastic. So I have to differentiate between her ideas. Her deck is about... is a values deck. Funny, we should talk about that. But her deck is about values for regeneration of the world, right? She's 85. Wow. What a mission, right? And her deck just didn't look that great. The words were wonderful, but how it looks matters. And I had to it was an unpleasant conversation to say to her, hey, your deck needs a graphic designer. She doesn't have a personal graphic lens on the world. So she wasn't offended by what she'd created.
Yeah.
Right. And I shared it with some other people first, because this is super early days for me to reject people's stuff. But I'm like,
yeah,
oh my God, she was one of the first people I rejected. And I tested it with other people first, because like, oh, I really like it, but I have to tell her that in order to protect this industry and to teach everyone they need a deck, the deck's going to look amazing.
Yes.
Well, bless her. She took my advice. She went and got the graphic designer to do the work with her. And yesterday, she was in an event and she presented her deck and the whole, she was like, so she presented at this conference
the deck, the experience. Well, she demoed Deckable. Like, it's like,
wow. An 85-year-old.
Yeah.
Using this one, which is high up on my list too, taking wisdom and showing that to,
like,
I hate that we're like, time with us gets very slippery, and we do that. We do that in every venue, everything. I want to, okay, so obviously we're going to get you back and we're going to talk about this. Now, what you guys have many venues of folks who are creatives that want to submit already. This early stages of something, we're actually giving a very big gift to creatives out there by having you on here at this stage of your company.
Yeah.
Deckable.com.
Deckable.com, yeah.
Check it out there. And all of the information.
D-E-C-K-I-B-L-E, just in case.
I-B-L-E.
Deckible. Like, it's the same as Audible.
Yeah, right? That's right. Yeah, there you right. Funny.
Like not, the metaphor.
Not really that. Yeah, not reinventing any wheels.
By design.
By design. Right. This blows me away. Oh, you said you had a gift for me.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah, I brought you.
Oh, okay.
A card deck.
Okay.
And it's a book as a deck. Because, well, books as a deck is a thing, right?
Okay, so books as a deck is a thing. So I actually have this book in my office.
Oh, awesome. Wow.
at my financial firm. I actually have this book. I'm a big Stephen Covey fan. Well, the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, right. 52 cards to challenge and inspire every week of the year. Now, again, whatever your deck is, you know, whatever your deck is, whatever my deck is, there are decks out there that can help change people's lives.
I can honestly tell you.
Thank you. This thank is you. Awesome. Also, this is awesome.
I have given gifts of decks to a lot of people. And I can't say it's been... And someone who's created a board game about gift giving. This is kind of a highly qualified statement, right? Oh,
yes. Yes.
I come with like...
You know your shit.
I come with a PhD in gift giving. Yeah. Self-appointed, admittedly, from the University of, you know, Giftology.
Yeah.
In Kelowna. Anyway,
well, yeah.
But I've given a lot of decks as gifts, and I can honestly say to guys, if this is your audience,
yep,
this is the best gift you can give anyone.
Ah, there you
right?
go.
Right, because what happens is the person you give it to opens the, and 52 days, you should draw a card from that every day.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because you buy someone an affirmation deck or some positivity or a values or a feelings and strengths deck, right? Because it says like, I'm willing to talk about this.
Yeah.
I'm willing to talk about what I value. What do you value? Let's have that conversation every day. What a beautiful gift. You are giving more than 60 cards. You're giving access to everything, right? And I have given like a lot of gifts, the decks as gifts, and it's been, I mean, this was before the idea, right?
Sure.
This is part of the, like, oh, this is a really good idea because people actually like, It's amazing to me that such a large percentage of the world don't really get what decks are.
No.
I'm like, hell yeah, wonderful. What a wonderful opportunity. Because if those people can get as passionate about it as the rest of it, we've got a long runway.
Well, you're talking ground level for something that already exists. And by the way, for the folks who, I mean, okay, Covey has built a business and an entire empire already, a deck being a part of that, right?
Right.
You think about other folks who have written a book, who have put out art, who have done all of these things, you are giving them something that they have never seen. And you're seeing the people who have done decks forever. You're giving them a boost and another, I can talk about this all day.
The statistic, I might mess up the statistic, but.
Okay.
When somebody reads a book, what percentage of people complete the book?
Oh, that's a great.
It's ugly.
Yeah, I got some people in my life who I can see that with.
I'm just saying it was ugly. I give you a big clue, but
less than 50, obviously.
Yeah, you're still miles away, but yeah, keep going.
Oh, are you kidding me? Like 15, 20%? Lower?
Yeah.
Is it lower than 10?
Depending on the somewhere around the 10, 12, 13.
Whoa. And great intentions. Yeah. But the follow through sometimes can be a little bit daunting with life, with the different things that come. With a deck, much easier to follow through.
It's like that gym membership, right?
Yes.
You go for the first week. Well, here you can just take a bite every day, just randomly from that deck, just choose a card every day, right? You've made it possible to insert something
inserting in deck is a bad thing. Inserting
another deck joke.
Something. Yeah. So, number two.
Number three. We're
doing one more. When you're out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Straight three row.
I don't have even lost my train of thought.
No. About that. back to inserting.
Yeah. You've inserted into a moment, into someone's daily ritual.
Yeah.
You're creating rituals. And like, mental wellness comes to those who have rituals. Like, if you turn up every day and do something, you've replaced the bad habit with a healthy ritual. Absolutely. Where are we? Right? If you have your values, have your feelings, have your strengths, you
know, you'll keep going down that path.
Right.
Whether it is journaling, whether it is prayer, whether it is, whatever that looks like, this is a gateway into getting back into the things that are going to drive you forward.
Turning up every day. That's what it is, right?
You know, it's a deck podcast, but it's not. It's beyond that. And I here's what I got to say, Nick. Like, coming on here today, you know how stoked I am about this project, and I'm so happy for you. Again, I was proud to say that I knew you before. I mean, my goodness, the dimension that you've added to that, knowing that you are the founder creator of this, I'm so excited for you. But the mindfulness that you have taken in coming here today, I got to close right now. I wish I didn't have to, but it's time to kind of move right to the close. The mindfulness that you had, not just coming on here and sharing this amazing thing that's being built, but to take it and actually, because I know how much what Candy and her team are doing means to you. And I know what personal development and the men's mental health movement, and then when she changed it, comes up, and all the good things that are coming down the plate, the pipe. I know that you are so supportive and excited about that. You literally took your appearance today and you tailor-made it for our audience and for us at He Changed It. I cannot thank you enough for everything that you've done for us. We love you very, very much, Nick. We're so excited for this. He Changed It is going to do some really, really cool things. And it's not going to be, the main reason is because there's a lot of people that are pulling for us and that are helping. Right. And so I want to say thank you for
being that. It needs to be done, right? It needs to be done.
Thank you for saying that. At times when we really need to hear it, thank you for saying that. And, I love you, man. And I'm so grateful. And I'm very excited about this. So look for the He Changed It deck coming soon on Deckable. That is another episode right there. Hey, was I lying when I said I was excited? Nope. Sure not. I love this. And I hope you do too. If you liked it, if you know somebody out there in your life needs to see what we talked about today. Who is that person? Think about that. If you wouldn't mind sharing this episode with them, we'd appreciate it. If you haven't downloaded He Changed It yet, again, we ask that you do that and watch the growth. Be part of something at the beginning and watch it. Watch how it evolves. Watch how it grows. We're going to change the world. We're hell-bent on it. And we're so excited for it. That is another episode of HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. My name is Mike Chisholm. Go change something.